All right, and welcome to this, our second ever Braingasm Wrestling Recap.
Wrestlegasm.
Well, do you want to go with Wrestlegasm? I mean, it's early enough on the show that we could just change the name and no one would give a shit, right? Like,
Do you want to go keep the gasm theme going? You've got your Braingasm, well, you've got your...
It's Braingasm Wrestling Recap. So Braingasm is definitely name-checked. I mean, I'm nothing if not a brand whore. Like, yeah. I'm always gonna have the brand recognition.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you want to go with the rest? Do you want Wrestlegasm? It's up to you, man. We can do it. I just went with Wrestling Recap because seems nondescripted. It was actually WrestleMania Recap, but...
Yeah.
You know, obviously every week isn't WrestleMania, so we have to wait. We're not going to do this once a year. It's like, oh, hey, guys, we got our once a year podcast coming out. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes next year.
We could review all the previous WrestleManias. That'll take us through.
That sounds like work, Jeff.
Well, I've watched pretty much all of them. So
I know, but I haven't, so I'd have to do all that work. I'd have to be like...
Just go through that magazine and read all the results.
You do realize this is an audio podcast, so you just pointed at an object that they can't see, so they don't know what you're talking about.
I always point.
They have no idea what you're talking about.
I always point.
We are here for our second ever episode of the Braingasm Wrestling Recap, or Wrestlegasm, or Gasmania, or... Insert any clever other wrestling related title you can, please, because clearly we're not very good at coming up with titles. I'm Ben. This is Jeff.
RK Orgasm.
RK Orgasm. What are you talking about? Orgasm. There's no orgasms around here. Shut up, Jeff. Yeah. No, we, it's funny. No one ever makes that connection, Jeff. Orgasm thing. Yeah. It's funny. Like, I've had the title Braingasm for so long that, like, I don't even remember why I came up with it.
Yeah.
Like, it was just such a long time ago.
But see, RK Orgasm kind of works because it could be... Actually, you could make it RK Ortongasm.
RK Ortongasm?
Yeah.
So that sounds like an episode title. Like, if we were just to be like... if we were just going to talk about Randy Orton and Bob Orton the whole time, we'd be like RK Ortongasm or something. Yeah. But we're not going to do that. So, Jeff...
I just like saying Ortongasm.
For the audience at home, you can't see this, but Jeff, we have SmackDown playing on the TV on mute next to us, and Jeff Stroop's eyes are locked on it like a small child on Christmas morning.
Because I didn't see SmackDown.
It's just like he's
I saw half of it.
Yeah, he's just staring at it. So, like, it's a really weird thing where, like, we're having a conversation, but, like, imagine having a conversation with someone who's, like, just fixated on something else, just like, yeah, but the weird thing is he's not responding like he's fixated on something else. So, like,
no.
He's not doing, like, yeah, uh-huh, cool. That bitch said, what? You know, that kind of thing. He's actually in the conversation.
Yeah, I'm in the conversation. I'm paying more attention to the conversation. Yeah. My eyes are on the TV.
It's a very, very, very strange thing. So what are we watching, Jeff?
We are watching SmackDown.
Do you want to tell the people what's going on right now in SmackDown?
Stuff.
Well, Rusev right now is walked out.
Rusev's being a dink.
Yeah. I've actually kind of find it funny because Jeff hasn't seen it. So I'm trying to see if we can piece it together just based on the visuals alone.
You beat me. No, I beat you. Yes, beat. America, America, America's the best place.
I was about to say, if you don't say America, 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 you didn't watch the wrestling match.
No. Well, how can I not be saying America, America, America? John Cena's got his hand on his chest with his U.S. title, with his shirt. The champ is here with the U.S. title on the shirt as well.
I want to make a joke. I want to make a note about this, by the way.
American flag.
When they first showed the t-shirt, the champ is here t-shirt, they didn't show his full body. So I didn't know that there was a belt lower on there. So I thought that t-shirt was saying the champ is here with an arrow pointing down. I'm like, is John Cena wearing a t-shirt that says the champ is here with an arrow pointing at his dick?
And flying his penis is the champ.
Because if so, I am buying that t-shirt. Like, that is the greatest thing.
He's had shirts like that before with other belts and stuff on it. But yeah.
Yeah. I legitimately did not know that it had the belt below it. And I was so confused for a second.
Like, that's the greatest
shirt. Did John Cena just get interesting for once? Like,
that's the greatest shirt ever.
Yeah. No, he did not get interesting for once. John Cena is still very uninteresting.
I love the purple hair.
The purple hair of the fan behind. We can't spend the whole time just talking about what's on the screen. We actually do have to talk about
wrestling.
Yes,
I know,
so
but purple hair is discreet.
If this will be a distraction, I will turn it off. So I thought it would just be a fun thing to have in the background. But let's talk. So, Jeff, this is the second show we've ever done. This is the first show we've done since WrestleMania.
Yeah.
The first show we did was almost exclusively about WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So we've actually kind of seen the Raw after Mania. I've seen SmackDown since Mania. We've had some news, some interesting stuff happen, which you wanted to talk about.
I think a good spot to start is actually what's on the screen at the moment is Sheamus returning.
Sheamus came back. So
I said I was pretty sure he'd come back after Mania.
And yeah, you did. And I like that we got a new chant out of it, which is – I always love a good chant, especially when it's not misogynistic in nature.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, everybody in the audience at Raw. You should be all ashamed of yourselves. My favorite. I think my new favorite chant of 2015 is, "You look stupid."
Yes, that is, it is a good good chant. But yeah, no, I love how Sheamus, you know, even though he looks stupid, I like that rather than throw him being out for whatever, 6, 7 months, 8 months, however long he's been gone, instead of throwing him like they always seem to used to, throw him right towards the world title, they've got him, they're pumping up that, you know, IC championship. You know, the Intercontinental Championship is starting to seem like it means something again.
Yeah.
And I like that, you know, that's where they've chosen to put Sheamus right now.
Yeah, you called that too. An interesting thing, they did the interesting thing in this show too, which is they had John Cena come out, and I like the way that they're kind of differentiating the way that they're going to try to juice up the two titles, because with the Intercontinental title, it seems very much to be, this is a title for real, like the real wrestlers, like the B, and then like the real wrestlers, this is a title for the guys that you're not going to see like on like the world heavyweight.
Yeah.
But these are the Zigglers, Brian, who holds the title, you know, the Barretts, that kind of thing, where like they're really good, and like they're the fan favorites, but not necessarily the super superstars.
Yeah. Well, even I saw part of, like I said, I only saw half of SmackDown, but I did see when Sheamus came out and he was running down Ziggler, and
that was Raw.
Oh,
that was Raw.
No.
Yeah, that was Raw.
No,
because he beat the show.
He didn't say anything.
Yeah, he did.
On Raw.
No, he did. He did. He came
he
out.
Said,
he beat the show.
Oh,
no. Yeah, he said, "I'm back."
Yes,
which is
no,
the stupidest
I'm talking
sounding line
about his speech on SmackDown.
Oh yeah,
saying that, not beating them up, running them down over the mic, as in they're small.
Yeah,
they're no good.
He kept hitting that point over and over again. Like,
well, because see, that's the big thing when Daniel Bryan was running after the title, when he had that big, you know, they were pushing him toward the title by holding him back by saying he was a B-plus player, he didn't belong here. That's sort of the same thing they're doing again with Sheamus, saying the same sort of thing about him, which it worked the last time to really make people behind Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And now they're doing sort of the same sort of thing, which I like, because, you know, it worked to build Daniel Bryan up, and I think it's going to work to build him and the Intercontinental title up.
And I got to say, as a 6'2" ginger,
yeah,
I feel you, bro. Like, I feel you, Sheamus. Like, you're my guy. Like, you'll always be my guy. Like, it sounds bad to say I should be better than that, but like, he's my guy. Like, he looks like me, and he's mine. You know what I mean? Like, even with his ridiculous beard and mohawk combination. Yeah, I don't know if I like the way he's coming in. I don't feel like he's got, I don't know, this almost feels like, to me, when I watch it, it seems like a dead-end storyline for him. Like, there's no real upward momentum with this, because obviously he's not going to win.
No.
But where does he go after that? If you take on the IC title and, like, lose, do you know what I mean? Like,
well, they have the U.S. title on a face, too, so you can always send him after Cena.
I guess, but, I mean, Cena's done this
whole
thing.
And then he
can
lose that, too, and then he's stuck.
Cena did this whole really kind of weirdly jingoistic speech about how, like, give me your, like, he's like the Statue of Liberty, give me your poor, your huddled masses, all that stuff. And he's like, that's what I want this title to be, is basically, like, all the guys who, like, the authority doesn't want to give a shot to, all the underdogs, or, like, the blah, blah, blah. I think he used that. I think he literally said that. All the, give me your underdogs, your something or others, your up-and-comers, and then, like, I'm going to have, like, everybody can come in and challenge me for it. So, like, I feel like that's what they're doing with the U.S. is, like, oh, yeah, anybody can do this.
So,
like,
we'll get Zack Ryder in there.
Well, it's weird, because
we'll
almost
Axelmania.
Almost immediately after saying that, Rusev comes out
yeah.
and is like, I challenge you. And he's like, all right, see you at friggin' Extreme Rules. So he's like, he said in his speech, like, every single week I'm going to have a challenger for my belt come up. Anybody can do it. And then Rusev comes out, and then all of a sudden now it's Next. It's a big match, big rival. So if he has a match next week, we all know he's not going to lose his title heading into Extreme Rules.
No.
So it was weird. They kind of undercut that immediately after saying it.
Yeah, they like to do that.
Well, whatever. They can't win with John Cena. Although he did seem to get more of a pop from SmackDown than he did from Raw. Because Raw, he really did not seem to be getting
love. Well, as I said to you after Mania, the Monday after Mania is always crazy. There's internet. There's fans from all over the world there, and they're your diehard fans.
Yeah,
you know. So they treat it. I mean, they're interesting. Some of the things they'll chant or do or signs or.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was very interesting. It was a very NXT favorable crowd. Like they were very into NXT.
Yeah.
Because
that seems to be where the real wrestlers are coming from now.
Yeah.
Is that that's where you're, you know, for your diehard wrestling fans, that's the people you want to see, is the guys from NXT.
Yeah. No, and it was cool. I mean, they're really giving Adrian Neville a big push. Like, he wasn't on SmackDown this week, but they had a big, I think it was the only promo they ran was his pre-tape.
Actually,
one.
I believe it's just Neville.
I know, it's just weird, like, I guess.
Which I thought was that nerdy little guy from iCarly, but
I think Neville Longbottom from Harry Potter.
Well, there was Neville from iCarly was their arch nemesis. Anyways, we're
getting very off topic here with our Harry Potter and our iCarly.
But I like how I was able to.
I like how you're significantly older than me, and you said iCarly. Like
I like how I was able to turn a wrestling podcast into something, bring iCarly into it.
Yeah, welcome to iCarly Gasm. Our new spinoff show.
How often can somebody say that they turned a wrestling podcast into an iCarly podcast?
Yeah. Yeah,
poor
no.
Poor Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose and Luke Harper. Luke Harper, by the way, remember when we were doing our last podcast?
Yeah.
We couldn't remember who the other guy was in the big match. It was Luke Harper.
It was
I don't remember why we couldn't remember him. He's the one who threw Dean Ambrose through the ladder.
Yes.
So we should. Of all the people we were talking, we spent so long on that one spot. Like, I love the fact that we forgot the actual guy. There was Luke Harper and Dean. Yeah, so Luke Harper and Dean Ambrose are currently going at it.
I'm one to believe now that they're actually trying to kill Dean Ambrose.
I thought that. Okay, we can rewind it later after the podcast because I'll show you because we're watching it. I recorded it, so we're watching it after the fact. There's one move he does. Where he just hits his head off something. I'm like, oh, yeah, that looked like it hurt.
Yeah.
Like, that looked like it seriously goddamn hurt. But that's like almost his role now. Like, he seems to be the only guy, like, he seems to be the guy in the company who's like, all right, I'll do it. And they had a really funny, I don't know if you saw it, when they did the cut of promo for his match tonight.
No, I don't think I saw it.
So the whole joke was that it was Kane, it was in Kane's office, and all of a sudden he's talking to Seth Rollins, and all of a sudden Rollins is like, God, it smells terrible in here. And Luke, and then Dean Ambrose walks out, and he's got like a newspaper in his hand, and he clearly had been shaking a shit.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing is like Kane's mad at him, so he's like, "All right, for that insolence," and he's like, "Okay, for that insolence, you have to fight. You have to wrestle Luke Harper tonight." And Ambrose is like, "Cool," and just walks away.
Yeah.
That seems to be kind of his role that he's playing in the company now. Is like, "Oh, you need me to do something stupid
and
reckless?"
He's like the new Mick Foley almost. Like,
yeah.
Let's put him through anything.
I like Dean Ambrose, though. He's probably like
I do. I like him a lot, too.
Yeah.
He's entertaining.
Okay, let's talk about that. So, like, we've gotten kind of specific as to this week, but let's just talk about it. So, like, since this is our second episode, let's get to know each other a little bit better. I mean, we know each other very well, but the audience doesn't know us. So, I mean, let's just do... So, like, who's your favorite wrestler currently working in the company right now?
Currently.
Because, like, I mean, everyone's going to say, like, their past favorites and, like, whatever. But currently, if you, like, when you see a guy, like, what we watch every week. So when you see a guy and you're like, oh, good, this guy's wrestling.
I don't know. It could possibly be Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose?
Other than that, I can't really think. I mean, I've been a Cena fan. I enjoy John Cena. But, I mean, you know, you like him. Oh, God, I hate this part. But anyways, getting back, really, I guess it would have to be Dean
Ambrose.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I can't really think of anybody else that I, you know, there was a time a little while ago I liked Ryback.
Yeah.
But then they sort of buried him, and now they're trying to bring him back and stuff. But I don't know. I find Dean Ambrose entertaining, you know, especially when he gets, you know, unfortunately, he's pulled away from it a little bit. But I like when he gets that real deranged sort of craziness to him.
The lunatic.
That's another one that I like, too, is actually, it's probably a toss-up between Dean Ambrose and Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
I like Bray.
Who's injured right now?
Bray Wyatt is very skilled in the ring, and he's got that insanity to him that, you know, and that fucking creepy ass spider walk, crab walk thing, whatever you want to call it. That just, that thing is friggin' nuts. But yeah, I think those would be the two that I would have to say at the moment would be two of my favorite. Any of the new, I like the newer guys. They're bringing up, you know, I like that they're starting to, you know, try to build up some of the newer guys. And even, I mean, Seth Rollins.
I love Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins. I think Seth Rollins is good too.
I like Seth Rollins. You know, I like that, you know, and I like, you know, you messaged me the other day, you know, saying, you know, they're making him look like a little bitch now. But that's what I mean. A good heel, it should look like a little bitch. Be like, well, you know, I woke up this morning and, you know, I got a little bit of a toothache. I would wrestle, but,
I like that they did in SmackDown, too. He came out. It was funny at the beginning. He came out and he was like, he was trying to justify why he didn't fight. And he's like, I don't know if you guys have ever flown.
Yeah, jet lag.
He's got a point. I mean, yeah, it's not like, it sounds bad to say, but he's got a point. Like, flying 8 hours and, like, finishing WrestleMania, I'm sure he was doing press till like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well, because then that day he went on to do whatever the Today Show.
He had to be like, so he basically finished up at WrestleMania at like 8 o'clock at 8 o'clock Pacific time.
Yeah.
And then
he was probably celebrating.
I'm sure he never got a chance to celebrate because I'm sure he was doing press until like interviews and stuff and like.
Well, and then he probably did some sort of, you know, whether, you know, he was drinking or.
Well, I mean, then
know,
he has to jump. Then he has to jump on a plane to get to the Today Show. Yeah. Which is at, like, I think it's like 7 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, which is like 4. So basically, he had to be on the Today Show like 5 hours after the end of WrestleMania. Yeah. Like, so, and it's like a 4-hour flight. So like, he probably did nothing but interviews, jumped on a plane.
Or even just jumped on the plane and did interviews.
Yeah, maybe. And then and then when he gets there, he has to do that thing and then jump on a plane back all the way to California again. Yeah. So, like, as you know, as much as you want to say, oh, yeah, he's a little bitch, like, yeah, he's got a legitimate point. Like, he would be tired. Like,
yeah. And they generally wouldn't have a title match on the following Raw. They just, I mean, obviously it was a setup so that they could make Brock Lesnar go crazy and be gone.
Justify another extended absence.
Just justify him being not on television for a while until Stephanie McMahon says, okay, you can come back now.
That guy, when he's like employed by the company, he works less than when I was unemployed. Like, seriously, he comes back and he's like, yeah, I work full time for the WWE. And it's like, how often do you work? Once every 4 months.
Well, that's the thing. See, he worked when he was with them over 10 years ago, back in the early 2000s. You know, he was on every show. He was at all the stuff. But, you know, he went to the UFC. And I think the UFC, they had, you know, those guys. You look at the pay-per-views for UFC. You know, the guy who's the champion might only defend that championship every 2 or 3
pay-per-views. It's not very often.
It's not very often. So he's used to it. He came back from that and said, I like that schedule.
Yeah.
Give me that kind of schedule and all, you know, and give me what kind of money I want and I'll work for you.
The problem with that, though, is that it doesn't really lend itself to good storylines. Because the good storyline has to be, like, developed over the course of months. And, like,
and that's why, that's why they have to have, they can't take Paul Heyman away from him. Or else there would be no, you know, they couldn't do any of what they're doing with Brock Lesnar, because at least Paul Heyman can come in 2 months before and hype you up about, you know, my client, the one in 21-1.
Yeah.
My client, Brock Lesnar. I think he doesn't say it nearly enough.
Yeah.
That his client, Brock Lesnar,
is the one.
Yeah.
Like, literally, they say...
My client, Brock Lesnar. You could just say my client after you've said my client, Brock Lesnar, five times.
My client, Brock! Where he does that, like, scream. Well,
yeah, I could do that, but I don't want to blow out your microphone there. But,
drive my dogs insane. Yeah. But, all the dogs in the neighborhood are all of a sudden just howling.
And I didn't get the DVD, but I love the title of it. It's just like when he comes out and the crowd repeat exactly what he says, because he says it every single time. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman.
Yeah. Always about you, Paul.
Yes.
Never let the audience forget that it's about you, Paul.
It is.
Yeah. I love Seth. I like Seth Rollins quite a bit. Yeah. I think he's one of those guys that's got good enough in-ring skills. I think his microphone skills are coming along. Like, he could be a really fun heel. And I don't feel like they're utilizing him. I feel like every time I watch him, I'm disappointed. Not in him, but I'm disappointed because I'm like, I feel like you've got the goods to go more. Like, I feel like you could be better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think Seth Rollins, I really hope they put, I really hope they put more stock in him than just like a one and done kind of thing. I think he could be a really, really good heel champion to carry forward.
Oh, yeah.
The guy they just showed on screen is one of my favorites. I've always loved Mr. Wade Barrett. I love Bad News Barrett.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
I love Bad News Barrett. I just feel like he's such a great wrestler. He's got such great mic skills too. I'm a huge fan of mic skills, as you can tell by my gift for Gab. Yeah.
And he's one of those tough, you know, he could kick the crap out of you.
He's tall, he's muscular, he's good looking, like he's got the look, like and like he can talk, and he's
like, it's a shame they haven't put him into like the world title hunt.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, he's been doing commentary he did commentary on Raw and he did commentary on SmackDown. I think he's great behind the mic. Like, he's really good at doing commentary. Like, he plays it so arrogant. Like, he's just like, he's going off on everybody. And he's just, he's given the guy shit. Like, you didn't hear it, but he did. He gave everybody on the panel, like, shit at the beginning. Like, he was going off on King. He was going off on Booker. Like,
oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, because that was Raw.
No, that was here.
Booker's not there.
Oh, Booker. No, Booker's not there. He was going off. Sorry, he was not Booker. It was, it was King and JBL and,
JBL's not there either.
Yeah. Anyway, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, King and JBL and all of
they all got dead.
Well, except for King. King wasn't there.
But King came later. Yeah, sorry. I'm getting confused.
When they had poor Byron. Poor Byron all by himself.
Yeah.
That was not a good idea.
Yeah, I love Bad News Barrett. I love his attitude. I love the way that he carries himself. Like, I think he nails that. I am very cocky and I'm going to talk shit about you, but in a way that like doesn't come off as like, hey, look how tough I am. Well,
the interesting thing is that, you know what, this might be something that they're planning in the future for, is that, you know, he keeps coming back and getting injured, and then he comes back and he gets injured. So, you know what? They may know that, you know, he may only have a couple more times of getting injured and coming back where he's not going to be able to come back again after injury to in-ring. So what better way than, you know, look at some of your best commentators. Like,
everybody but Cole.
I'm talking your color commentator. You know, you need somebody like Cole.
You need a good, you need a heel commentator. Yeah. You need somebody the fans can
You
hate.
Need a Michael Cole. You need a Jim Ross. You need
obviously you don't need a Jim Ross.
Well, no, but I'm saying you need a Vince McMahon. Back in his day,
Vince.
Back when Vince was on the mic, it was interesting. I mean, because you need those two or three to you know, play off each other. Like back in the day when I was growing up, it was awesome. You had Vince McMahon, Jesse the Body, and they'd interchange.
You mean Senator Ventura?
They'd interchange. There'd be like, no, Governor.
Governor Ventura, sorry.
They'd interchange. Or the conspiracy theory with Jesse Ventura.
Which one? He's got a bunch.
That's his new show, the
conspiracy
theory. He had that for a while. But anyways, getting back to what I was talking about. But then they'd switch in, like, sometimes it would be, like, a Bobby the Heenan would be in there, or there'd be Bruno Sammartino or Lord Alfred Hayes, they'd have these different people. But Jesse the Body was that one former wrestler who wasn't wrestling anymore, and they said, you know what? You got a gift for talking. Let's put you, you know, let's put you behind the mic with Vince and see, you know, see what happens. And it was some of the stuff Jesse used to say was brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, oh yeah, and Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse were amazing. You know, Gorilla would get into the real, you know, he'd use, you know, not just, he hit him in the stomach, or he hit him in the, yeah. Oh, he got him in the, yeah. Right between the solar plexus, or right between the abdomen, or this or that.
Using technical terminology all of a sudden.
Speak English, Gorilla.
Yeah.
Be like, all right. And that was, you know, and now you're getting more and more, well, look, Booker T, JBL.
Booker's not that good, though. It's the thing, like, he's kind of good, but like.
I think when you got him with JBL, it's not so bad, but without JBL, I think. Yeah, Booker T's not the best, you know, commentator around. But JBL isn't too bad. But he's been doing it. He's done it for a while.
Yeah.
And then he left and he came back and is doing it again. But they're entertaining because they can relate to the guys in the ring. They know what, and some of them, like in some cases with JBL, like when Cena's wrestling or certain guys are wrestling, oh, I know what that's like. Cause mm-hmm. I've wrestled that guy. You know, this. You know, he doesn't have quit in him or
yeah.
blah blah blah. And even King, he knows what some of these guys are like because he used to be a wrestler. And even I don't know if he still does or not. But up until a couple years ago, he had the heart attack at ringside. He was wrestling. He actually wrestled earlier that evening.
Yeah,
the night he had the heart attack, I think he was wrestling CM Punk. But he was known for, you know, house shows. He'd just jump in the ring and wrestle. So, you know, that's where a lot of the good commentating comes from, is they know what they're talking about because they've done it.
Yeah. I think the thing, too, I don't know if he could, if he actually did this for, like, his, you know, if God forbid, and let's be realistic here, probably going to happen. If, you know, something were to happen to Bad News Barrett or...
Yeah.
You know, down the road, and he can't wrestle for whatever reason. I think he had to have his neck reconstructed. Or no, that was Daniel, or his shoulder. His shoulder had to be yes. reconstructed.
Daniel had a neck problem,
and then Bad News had a shoulder reconstructed. Yeah.
And he was out for a while.
Which I've heard from people who had that same injury is really messed up. I heard from, I was listening to somebody who said they had the same injury, and like, you can't lift anything while you're recuperating. So like, so you can't train at all. So the thing I like about him, the way the character is that because he's got skin in the game right now, because obviously they're setting him up for coming back and challenging for the title.
Yeah.
He's not interested in putting anybody over.
No.
So, like, he just kind of reports the match as he sees it, like, talking shit about the guys in the ring.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, he'll be like, whoa, that was great. That was a great move. So, it really, you feel almost like you trust him more because it's not like, it's not clear.
Well, I did see this match last night. He is kind of, not... fully, but he's
putting Sheamus over.
He is definitely putting Sheamus over.
Yeah, but he's very clear about why.
Yeah,
and that's the thing, is he's very clear about
why. Yeah, because Daniel Bryan has his title. And he doesn't think Daniel Bryan deserves it, and because they were in the Nexus together, and he was sort of Daniel Bryan got Wade Barrett was the head of Nexus, and they pretty much booted Daniel Bryan out, and so there's. You know, there's a future storyline there that...
Oh, watch,
you know,
this move coming up. This looks painful.
Between
Sorry.
The two of them. I think I saw this.
Yeah. It's good, though.
Somebody's head hit something, right?
No, it's his back.
Oh, that's...
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, the head. Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
The back of Sheamus' head.
Painful.
Lucky there's padding there.
No kidding. Like, that would have hurt so badly.
Years ago, that used to be, like, solid metal barricades. There's a reason why there's padding on them now, because these guys, especially nowadays, like, you watch stuff from the 80s, early 90s, the stuff the guys do now, they'd be dead by the time they're like 30 years old.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them were, but.
Well, that was for different.
Yeah.
That was for drugs and things like that.
Well, it's all connected.
Well, the painkillers. But you look at a guy like Ric Flair, I mean, or Hulk Hogan.
Or the Hardy Boys.
No, no, but I'm just saying, Hulk Hogan, no, the Hardy Boys.
You look at this.
Other side. You look at Ric Flair. I mean, the guy wrestled for like
Oh, you mean like guys who didn't do spots, like dangerous spots.
Yeah. They didn't do those kind of, you know, jumping off a, you know, a ladder through a table from 50 feet in the air or something.
Yeah.
There was definitely years ago, there was a longevity to wrestling that is impossible now because of the way they work.
Yeah. Well, they've changed the rules too. Yeah. So, you know, you're not allowed to do some of these dangerous spots anymore. Yeah. But yeah, that was actually, it was interesting. Not even that long ago, because I watched, I was on YouTube last night, and I was watching the WWE YouTube channel has a bunch of like current famous wrestlers. It has their debut matches. So they show, like, I watched, that was Randy Orton's first match. I watched that one. And then I watched Edge's first match, CM Punk's first match, Sheamus's first match, which the other thing they have in common is they all win in these first matches, by the way. The one that was really interesting was Daniel Bryan's first match. I don't know if you have you seen Daniel Bryan's first match?
I don't think I have.
So it's Daniel Bryan versus Chris Jericho. It's like Chris Jericho is the champion at the time. It's like 9 minutes long, and like the two of them really go the distance.
Oh, yeah.
Like really interesting. And it was the way that he actually, Daniel Bryan lost the match, but he's the only one who lost the match. But like they did a really good thing about like they really tried to play it up like he was. You know, like he was something big, even though he couldn't beat the champ right away. Like he was big. But there's one move he did where he went, I can't remember how he got about it, but like he went at Jericho from, Jericho was outside of the ring.
Yeah.
And he went at Jericho from through the ring.
Oh yeah.
And he hit the announcer table square in the back.
Oh,
so
yeah. I think I've seen
fucking
I've
hard.
Seen that one. Yeah.
That I'm like, oh my God, he must be like, I'm amazed. I know for a fact.
I think that's the one that was like a line across his back.
I was amazed he could walk.
Yeah.
Like it was like, and it's one of those things, like obviously
he
messed up the spot a little bit. Like he just hit his head off the table, but.
No, actually he didn't.
He didn't? He juiced it? He cut it?
Oh no, maybe. I think, I don't know. Cause he was doing the.
Cause I thought they're not allowed to razor anymore.
No. He was doing the headbutts to Sheamus, and then, but they said they didn't. I don't know. He might have hit the table, but they said he didn't.
I think he. Well, they said he didn't hit the table.
That's what I think they. Yeah. I remember them saying.
Anyway, he's got a giant bloody forehead.
Yes,
so
he does.
This is the end of Raw or the end of SmackDown.
Either way, he's got. Yeah, he's bleeding. So.
Yeah. But yeah, he hit the table, and it was so hard. Like you could see. Like I'm like
I think I remember that because I think he had a line right across his back.
It was
a red line across his back.
It was really like they showed it in slow motion, and like you could see like all that. That must have hurt so badly. Yeah. Like you know, it's one of those things where good for him for finishing the match because he got back in there, and you could see it. I mean, I was looking for it, and you could kind of see it on his face. Like you could kind of see whenever he goes to do a move, like it's like like you could tell he's. In pain, but he finished the match, like the two of them. And like, but yeah, it's just, it's crazy. Like even not that long ago, like the stuff people did, like if you know, with these high risk, there's, even if it's fake, like these high risk maneuvers, if you don't nail it absolutely perfectly, it's something really bad.
Oh, yeah.
You could hit your head, you could hit your neck, you could hit your back, you could hit anything.
Yeah. I like seeing wrestlers debut matches and stuff like that. That's why I like getting the DVDs of different wrestlers because you'll get like, you get their best matches, but then they'll throw their debut or something on there. And the good ones like Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man, you get their debut matches against the good old days when the jobbers were real.
Yeah, they were real jobbers.
Like they had no chance.
I like the guys who look like your dad's friends. Like they got the gut. They barely got.
Yeah.
I don't even seem like they have any muscles, Rick. Really, like. Yeah, you don't get that anymore these days.
Yeah, the guys with day jobs. But one of the coolest ones I have is I have several Mick Foley DVDs, and one of them has Mick Foley's first match in the WWE. He actually was, it was a tag team match, and he was one of the jobber tag team guys. He was Jack Foley at the time.
Yeah.
And he was a jobber. And then he didn't, obviously he didn't last. And then he went to whatever, Japan and ECW and WCW. And then, you know, eventually came back to WWE. You know, back then, of course, was WWF. That's one thing. See, this one of my pet peeves is, you and I, we're just two guys sitting around talking.
Very much two guys. If you think we're in any way celebrities, I had one joke that got big on Reddit.
I think I can say WWF when it was, you know, if I'm referring to stuff back in the 80s, I can call it the WWF, you know. What's going to happen? Is World Wildlife Federation coming after me? Come on, bring it.
Yeah.
You know, sue me.
Yeah.
But, you know, because it was WWF, you know, it makes me laugh when I see interviews with guys, say like a Jake the Snake or a Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, or somebody that wrestled in the 80s, and they're talking about their days back in the 80s, and they have to refer to it as the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, back in 1984 when I debuted in the WWE. No, you didn't debut in the WWE. Yeah. You debuted in the WWF.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're so unfortunate. They're a little more lenient now than when they initially changed from WWF to WWE. When they first changed over, any DVDs, like, even the turnbuckle where it had WWF, that had to be blurred. The ring had to be, you know, the WWF and the ring had to be blurred. If they were saying something, if they were showing an interview backstage and they were saying, oh, it's good to be back here in the WWE, it would be like, it's good to be back here in the WWE.
See, that might not be, I don't know, that might be them. That might not be them, though. That might be a legal thing. Like,
well, no, that's what I'm getting at. That had nothing to do with the WWE.
I could see them. Well, because I could see them being like, okay, we can't confuse the brand. So,
I think it was partially the legal part. But I think over the years, it may have gotten a little more lenient. But initially, they were, I think maybe they didn't know exactly how much they were allowed to get away with.
Yeah.
So they were just being complete and totally cautious by, you know, okay, we can't show anything that's with the F.
Yeah.
You can't even say,
don't drop an F-bomb.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can't. They bleeped something during SmackDown, which I thought was weird. Did you notice?
No,
I texted it to you. During the
you said John Cena.
John Cena called Rusev a douchebag, and they bleeped douchebag. I was very surprised about that. They were just like, nope, you can't say douchebag. You could say like all the other stuff they've gotten away with. Like I was very surprised with the bitch thing.
Yeah,
when they said Suplex City bitch, and then like Paul Heyman, I thought he was gonna get in trouble for that, and then Paul Heyman came out and said it, and like everybody's kind of said it now. So like, yeah, but douchebag apparently is it's a no-no term. Yeah. I was interesting. One of the reasons I actually wanted to do this podcast, I'm just checking out the time right now. One of the reasons I actually wanted to do this podcast with you was because, you know, I've watched wrestling off and on I'm only 25, so I've watched wrestling on and off probably, if you were to take all the time, maybe like 2 years of my life. It's not like 2 years, like continuously. It's always been like, I'll get into it for a bit and then I'll get out of it and then I'll get into it and then I'll get out of it and then I'll get into it. So like, but I've never been, you know, like a huge hardcore fan for any stretch of time. Yeah. You always have. That's the thing with you. So like,
well, there was a period in the 90s that I wasn't really watching. You know, I knew a little bit of what was going on, but I didn't really. I'd say probably from maybe early 90s till around 98 or so, I wasn't really. You know, I had an idea of things that were going on, but I started watching again, you know, basically around the Attitude Era, like the 98, you know, 99.
So, like, that's the thing. Like,
when
Owen
Hart passed away.
I know what the Attitude Era is. I know what the Attitude Era is, but I don't know much about it. Yeah. So, like, that's the kind of thing. Like, what is the Attitude Era? Like,
really, that's where the WCW was starting to take over, and then they, you know, basically, I think what pretty much launched it was the famous Bret Hart screw job.
Okay.
And that's where the character Mr. McMahon, you know, where Vince McMahon, you know, stepped out of the shadows as this commentator kind of guy, and really, you know, now people, when back in the 80s, I just thought Vince McMahon was a commentator. Yeah. I had no idea the guy owned the company.
You had no idea he was a billionaire?
I had no idea the guy owned the company. Yeah. I had no idea.
It was almost like, to you, it was almost like undercover boss.
I mean,
like, you had no idea.
I mean, Jack Tunney was the president of the WWE.
Yeah.
He was the president, so I assumed that he had, all he really was an actor, pretty much. That's all that Jack Tunney was.
Yeah, figurehead.
My brother has the greatest moment. He was waiting for me and my cousin at the Welland Arena after we were watching wrestling at the Welland Arena. And he was walking around, wasn't quite paying attention to where he was going, and walked right into Jack Tunney.
Really?
And he's like, oh, sorry.
Oops, sorry about that. My mistake, sir. Brushes him off a little bit.
Sorry, Mr. Jack Tunney. Don't suspend me without pay. But, that was pretty much the attitude there. And the 80s, you know, that's where I got into it. I got in right around WrestleMania 1. And right after WrestleMania 1, it really started to pick up. That's when the Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling cartoon came out.
Mm-hmm.
The first wrestling album. You know, they just started milking anything. We'll put out an album. We'll put out another album. We'll give Jimmy Hart his own album. And the thing is, Jimmy Hart really is the only one, you know, on the Pile Driver, the second wrestling album, Coco Beware kind of, he was a half-decent singer, but I don't know if you know, Jimmy Hart was an actual singer.
I didn't know that, no.
He was in a band, you can look it up.
He's Bret Hart's dad, right?
No.
Or his brother?
Nope. There's no relation.
Oh, okay.
No, Jimmy Hart was the Mouth of the South, their manager.
Ah, okay. So that's not his real name.
I don't know if Jimmy Hart is his actual name or not. But anyways, Jimmy Hart, back in the 50s or 60s, I can't remember. I think it was probably the 60s. There was a band called the Gentrys.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a song called Keep On Dancing. That was Jimmy Hart.
That was Jimmy Hart.
And his band, yeah. Huh. His band was called the Gentrys. And so that's why he wrote several of the music for the WWE stars. Honky Tonk Man's music. He wrote one of the last songs, most famous entrances he wrote was Shawn Michaels. He helped write that.
The Heartbreak Kid song?
Yeah, the Sexy Boy song. He helped write that. But one of my favorite things from being a wrestling fan over the years, I didn't realize until years later how cool it was, but I saw the original Royal Rumble.
Really?
I was there. It was actually at Cops Coliseum, which
in Hamilton.
Yeah, which of course now is First Ontario, First Ontario Center. But they had it in there. And it wasn't a pay-per-view.
It was just a normal thing?
It was,
obviously it wasn't Royal Rumble.
No, it was. It was actually...
No, but I mean, it wasn't like the pay-per-view Royal Rumble. Like
It was the Royal Rumble.
No. I mean, Rumble the pay-per-view that happens once a year, big deal in the wrestling world?
It was the first one.
But it was the first actual match that was like...
No, hey. it was the Royal Rumble.
We're not kidding. We're confusing each other.
No,
it
was the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
But it wasn't on pay-per-view.
Yeah. No, that's what I said.
Like, see, the original WrestleMania wasn't on pay-per-view either.
Oh, really?
No. They did closed circuit at the time. There wasn't pay-per-view at the time.
Yeah, I guess there wouldn't be.
The thing was, Royal Rumble...
Pay-per-view meant you had to go to the thing.
Well, or like what I did for WrestleMania 3 and 4, I went to Cobb's Coliseum and watched it on closed-circuit television on the big screen. No, it was like the Royal Rumble we know now, except it wasn't on pay-per-view. They did it on the USA Network. USA Network was kind of new still at the time. So it was being broadcast live... But it wasn't on a pay-per-view.
Mm.
It was still like the equivalent, but this, like I said, this is still at the time.
It's early days.
This is still at the time when pay-per-view was still an early sort of, it was in its early stages. So it was was the Royal Rumble, but it wasn't like now it's at the time the winner didn't get, you know, a match at WrestleMania in the main event. It wasn't until, I think it was like maybe 5 or 6 Royal Rumble. Oh, God.
Sorry. They're showing the Terminator H again.
Yeah.
Which we're not big fans of.
But it wasn't until like 5 or 6 years after they started doing the Royal Rumble that they finally were given a title shot. But no, it was very similar when it was... See if I can. I'll look it up and
Jeff is currently. He's got a book here. Want to give the title of the book and the authors?
It is the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Presents 19th edition of. It was the 2014 Wrestling Almanac and Book of Facts. But where was it? Royal Rumble, Cops Coliseum, Hamilton, January 24th, 1988.
I wasn't born.
There was a.
For the record, I did not exist.
Rick Steamboat, it was Ricky Steamboat, defeated Rick Rude by disqualification. The Jumping Bomb Angels defeated the Glamour Girls to win the women's tag team titles. There was actually women's tag team titles back then, briefly. Hacksaw Jim Duggan won the very first 20-man Royal Rumble, last eliminating the one-man gang. And the Islanders, Haku and Tama, defeated... The Young Stallions, Jim Powers, and Paul Roma.
Wow.
Who came out to a Jimmy Hart song from the Pile Drive realm. But also...
So yeah, people who are listening to this, if you don't think Jeff's got cred, he's got cred.
Also, yo. At that pay-per-view, what was cool... See, I went to... There was a couple months, a month or two before, there was a house show or whatever at Cops Coliseum. And... The Jumping Bomb Angels took on the Glamour Girls, and, you know, it was screwed up, and that's what kind of led to them going to the Royal Rumble. But also, what made the Royal Rumble kind of cool, too, what it doesn't say in there, it sounds like not very many matches, but what gave it that, you know, like I said, it wasn't officially a pay-per-view, but what gave it the pay-per-view kind style, style was... there was a wrestler by the name of Dino Bravo, and he was this big muscle-bound guy, who weightlifting guy, and he was going to break the bench pressing record.
Oh, like actual, like...
Yeah, he was going to try to break it, and Jesse the Body was there, and I have it on DVD at home, because they put out kind of an anthology of the Royal Rumble, and they put like... The first five, then the second five, then the next five. You know, you could get them in sets of five. So I got the first one because, like I said, it had never been released on videotape or anything years ago. So I wanted to see the one that I was at. So I've watched it. And I remember, yeah, Dino Bravo's doing the bench press and Jesse the Body's spotting him. And the whole thing was that it's not official. He didn't officially break the record because Jesse
was helping him.
Actually helped him a little bit. And another big moment from that was, I think it was the contract signing for, let's see, what was the...
Going back to the book.
I can't remember which WrestleMania was next.
To the book.
Next up was, after that was, that led to WrestleMania 4 and Hulk Hogan and, I think Hulk Hogan still had the title, Hulk Hogan had the title at this point, and what happened was, after the Royal Rumble, Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant at the Royal Rumble signed a contract to face each other at, there used to be Saturday Night's Main Event years ago. Okay. And they were doing a main event on a Friday night. And Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant were scheduled to wrestle each other. So they signed a contract at Royal Rumble. And this led to, Andre the Giant ended up beating Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
With the little help from...
His friends?
No, from referee Dave Heppner, the guy that ended up screwing Bret Hart years later.
Yeah.
But at the time...
Not literally.
No.
Not literally. We should clarify for the record, not literally.
I should say a little help from Earl Hebner, who screwed over Bret Hart years later. But Earl Hebner wasn't the actual referee of the match. He just happened to be paid by Ted DiBiase to take the place of the actual referee, Earl Hebner's twin brother, Dave Hebner, who'd been refereeing for years there. So they snuck him in, and he screwed over Hulk Hogan, basically. Andre won the title, which was okay. Andre won the title. You know, okay, you tricked us, but Andre's the champion.
Yeah.
But what screwed things up was Andre the Giant said, okay, here, Mr. Ted DiBiase, you gave me a whole bunch of money. Here's the title.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, you cannot.
You can't buy a title.
That's not how this works. Now nobody's the champion.
You can only buy Congress people. You cannot buy a title.
Now nobody's the champion. WrestleMania 4, we're going to have a tournament, which ultimately ended up being Randy Savage won that tournament, and became the champion. You know, but it was a pretty good WrestleMania.
Yeah,
it was.
So let's get back. We were talking about the Attitude Era. So, like, what defined the Attitude Era in terms of, like, you kind of mentioned who the main players were. Like, what was it? What differentiated it from what came before and what came after?
Well, the big thing I think a lot of people like to say about what it was before, what it was in the '80s, was like.
Because remember, I'm not alive, so I don't know.
In the '80s, all you have to do is go back and look at some of the stuff. It was basically a living, breathing cartoon.
Okay, which it's not now.
Well, not exactly.
Have you seen Stardust recently?
Yes, but every character was Stardust wouldn't have stood out in the '80s.
Okay.
We had a giant, this huge black guy who wore face makeup and a big, like, mask, like a headhunter sort of thing, like this huge mask, and he had, carried a spear, and he had a star and a moon painted on his chest and on his stomach, and he was called Kamala the Ugandan.
So what you're saying is they were very racially sensitive and very.
It's Kamala the Ugandan Giant.
Yeah,
and he had like a guy that brought him to the ring.
Basically, they could have just called this guy the Fighting Mandingo, and it would have been slightly less racist.
He didn't talk. He like a giant black Georgian animal steel, except no hair. He didn't have a hairy back or a green tongue.
Oh God!
But yeah.
And he was
one of your main event guys going for the title.
He was one of the good ones.
He was one of the guys going for the title against Hulk Hogan. So you tell me that he was going to get the title from Hulk Hogan.
I'm still, you know, you say that, and like, you know, it sounds horrible and offensive. I still think it's not as offensive as Eugene.
Oh my God.
Eugene is one of the worst ideas I think anyone has ever had. Just like, let's get a wrestler and pretend he's mentally handicapped.
And then another great idea they had was, hey, you see this movie that came out, made all kinds of
money? Are you using the Terminator thing?
No, have you seen this movie came out, made all kinds of money? Crocodile Dundee.
Oh God.
Amazing. They made all kinds of money. You know what we should do? We should get us an Australian guy. Call him Outback Jack. He didn't do so well.
To be fair, though, is that any worse than Sheamus?
At least Sheamus can wrestle, and they've pushed him somewhere. This guy was definitely a complete and total stereotype.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, so you were saying about the Attitude. So what? So it was. What Jeff Stroop's just done here for you guys who aren't savvy listeners. What Stroop's just done here is he has just set up. He set the stage. He's told you, this is the world as you walked into this store. Yeah. As our story begins, this is where it takes place. So continue.
Yeah. So then we come to a time Hulk Hogan leaves. And we're put, you know, they're sort of getting away from those cartoonish kind of characters, you know. Well, because the thing was, see, I never watched it much before WrestleMania and stuff like that. I once was at a friend's house and they watched wrestling, and I thought this was stupid kind of thing. But then it became very, you know, okay, people are paying attention to us. We want to keep people's attention, so we're going to give them, like, cartoony kind of, you know, people in masks or, you know, hey, I got a great idea. You know what? Las Vegas makes all kinds of money off of Elvis impersonators. How about we get a guy called the Honky Tonk Man who does the Elvis thing? So then, into the early 90s, Bret Hart's the champion, you know, more of a legitimate wrestler. Shawn Michaels is clawing his way up, you know. So things are all right, but it's not as big as it was in the 80s when Hulk Hogan was the champion.
It's kind of funny that it almost seems to mirror, like, the grunge era. Yeah. And it was
sort of suffering.
Like, you see, like, Poison, like, Motley Crue and, like, the full makeup. You're like, this is ridiculous. And then Nirvana comes along and it's just
And it was sort of suffering because around that time, Vince McMahon was in a whole lot of crap because there was the whole steroid controversial.
Oh, of course.
There was a trial, and, you know, he was looking at some prison time. So everything ended up working out. I don't know all the details back then, but, and so then WCW started buying up everybody.
Yeah.
And then
there was blood in the water.
WWF was like, well, let's make fun of them for signing these old guys. And, ooh, I'm the Nacho Man. The Nacho Man and the Huckster and Billionaire Ted. They did these little vignettes of insulting them.
Which is weird because they spent so long building these guys up.
Yes, like, but now, yeah, and but, now it's but you've like, taken what we guys...
They spent years and so much money like creating these characters. So now they're now being like, look how stupid that is. Like, really?
But we'll take them back in a heartbeat. Yeah. Apparently, I was watching the recent Randy Savage DVD that came out, and his brother, Lanny Poffo, who was a wrestler as well, his gimmick was Leaping Lanny Poffo, and then he was the Genius Lanny Poffo, but his big gimmick was he used to do poems before his matches about his opponent or stuff. And anyways, Lanny Poffo was saying, apparently one of the big things that... why Randy didn't want anything to do with the WWE anymore after going to WCW.
WWF.
WWF, yeah. WWE.
Jesus, Jeff, what is wrong with you?
The WW. There, I'll send
some. The WW insert letter.
The WW. There. But reason
the WW.
He didn't want anything to do with them is because he took quite a bit of offense to the Nacho Man.
The Nacho Man.
And you know, he found in some of the stuff they
Wait,
did
the guy who said snap into a Slim Jim took offense at Nacho Man?
Yeah, he took some offense to what they were doing. And I think that they also did... Oh, because not only did they... The Nacho Man part, but they were implying that... his wife was sleeping with different people. So they took it a little bit further than just calling
that him... That does seem a little across the...
They took things a little further than just calling him the Nacho Man. They were, you know, poking at, you know, that there was possible, you know, problems with the marriage and stuff like that. Which, you know, you're not on the...
That's a bit of a line.
You know,
Especially if the guy doesn't work for you. If he's not drawing a paycheck anymore, to be like...
Yeah.
Starting to attack his... Like, if... it's sad, it's weird to say, but like if he's working for you and like, I mean, if he's working for you and like he's drawing a paycheck, then you're saying that stuff, then at least on some level he must be complicit.
Yeah.
But if he's not working for you and you're doing that's kind of across the line.
Well, yeah. But like I said, where the Attitude Era really started to take over was WCW started buying everybody.
Yeah.
They brought in Razor Ramon and Diesel, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. They brought them in and made it look like they weren't supposed to be there.
Yeah.
You know, that they were... WWF is invading us, blah, blah, blah.
Which is genius.
They were the outsiders. And then, I think I've told you in the past, and at the time...
Speaking of which, Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash, ladies and gentlemen. At the time, Raw was every week, but... Every other week, it was live. The other times, it was taped.
Yeah.
So more or less, they did two Raws in a week or something. One was live, and then they taped the other one. So obviously, you know, we were getting into a time, you know, this is early days of internet and different things. And while, you know, they're buying up the competition anyways, they can get people inside that know what happened on those tape nights to leak what happened to them. Yeah. So what was going on was Eric Bischoff on WCW was going up at the top of the show and saying, okay, so this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. Enjoy Raw.
What a dick.
And then what really changed, you know, one of the big things they credit for, he took it too far and ended up screwing himself. By one night, he said, oh, yeah, tonight they're going to put the Mick Foley or Mankind is going to win the title. Oh, that's going to put asses in seats. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, people started switching over to watch Mick Foley
win. To watch Raw.
To watch Mick Foley win.
But so he's basically doing a commercial for them without even realizing
it. They were so clever, WCW. They were signing people. One night, they were live and Raw was taped. And never would you think in a million years that one guy could be on both shows at the same time. Ravishing Rick Rude was on Raw as part of DX and coming to WCW and joining the NWO on the same night
at the ostensibly same time.
Pretty close, yeah, probably yeah. Pretty close. So, I mean, it was ridiculous. And then, of course, the big famous thing, Alundra Blaze, who was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame this year, she left the WWF. She was fired or she was let go or she quit or I don't know. Well, she was the women's champion at the time.
Yeah.
She had the title. And she called up Eric Bischoff and said, well, you know, I'm coming over to you guys. And I have the WWF Women's Championship. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Bring it to Monday Nitro. And we'll have you dump it in the garbage can on television.
On live television.
On live television. And now the woman was inducted into the Hall of Fame after
That's kind of the epitome of the Attitude Era.
That's really where I think Vince McMahon was like, we got to do something.
Yeah.
And that's what I think a lot of people, me being one of them, really believe that that's what led to the Bret Hart what they call the Montreal Screwjob. Vince knew he was leaving for WCW.
Yeah.
He'd signed. Vince wanted him to drop the title. Brett didn't want to do it in his home country.
Yeah, in Montreal. He's
from Calgary, but well,
but it's
as far as I know that we voted. You know, Quebec is still part of Canada.
They decided to stay.
Yeah, they did decide to stay. So
twice.
So technically, it is still Canada. So he didn't want to drop it in Canada. So Vince is like, well, I got to do something. Because after what happened with Alundra Blaze taking the title to WCW and dumping it in the garbage.
Yeah, that was...
Vince wouldn't even consider a woman's title again for another couple of years because...
Yeah, but this is a bigger scale. And this is the biggest wrestler in the world dropping the biggest title in the world
to the other team. So he was scared that he was going to do that. They might end up doing another thing like that. So he's like, well, you know what? Brett's just not going to have the title to take with him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, ring the bell. He called for the bell.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, Bret Hart's spitting on him. That led to the documentary, what was it called? Wrestling with Shadows or something? The one of the Bret Hart story thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's really what kind of set on. Then you had Vince McMahon the next night on Raw doing an interview with JR and saying, I didn't screw Brett. Brett screwed Brett.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to now they finally figured out what to do with, you know, Stone Cold came in and they brought in, you know, he had that attitude to him and then it became the brilliant story of the boss versus the rebellious guy. You know, you have this guy who, you know, everybody has had the point in their life where they've thought, you know what, my boss is a dick. I wish I could just stunner him, give him a stone cold stunner in the middle of the office.
Yeah.
But you can. This guy's doing it.
Yeah.
He's hosing down the boss with a truckload of beer. Which, do they, can you get a truck of beer
I think you can.
I mean, it's like a water truck. And it had a hose like you would have on a water truck, spraying beer out of it.
Yeah. So it sounds like what you're saying.
Years later, Kurt Angle did the same sort of thing, but Kurt Angle had that wholesome image, and it was a milk truck. And it was Milk-a-mania.
So it sounds like kind of what you're saying is basically that the Attitude Era was defined by kind of like two things. Kind of the recognition of the world is no longer going to accept this, what we've got, and competition.
Yeah.
Like the two things that, like, you can look back and say, if it hadn't been for that or this, the world would be like the wrestling world would be very different.
Yeah. And it got into real, you know,
like the sins of the past came back to bite WWF in the ass.
Yeah.
And there was a ready challenger willing to take up the mantle and put everything into taking them down.
Yeah. And then it became,
which when you look back, which I think was interesting, is in history. Obviously we know that WWF, and then WWE went on to win and then buy WCW.
Yeah.
So it's almost kind of interesting that they almost kind of seemed to need that. Like they needed that thing to happen. And it actually made the current WWE way stronger by having that. Even though I guarantee at the time, Vince McMahon probably would have been like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened.
Yeah. And it was such a neat, I like, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when it was really in the heat of it, it was at a point where it was like, I thought I was going to turn on Monday Night Raw some night and see, you know, two women wrestling complete and totally naked in the ring.
Yeah.
Because
they were so desperate.
They were having, you know, bra and panty matches or, you know, evening gown matches, and how you won an evening gown. How did you win an evening gown match? By ripping the other girl's evening gown off and leaving them in their underwear.
They were just desperate. Like, they were throwing everything, you know, they had at the wall.
Sable. They would have a bikini competition, and Sable had this bikini where basically it was just like she had these two black handprints, like stickers over her breasts, like sparkly handprints over her breasts, and I was like, oh my god, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
as a young male, you'd be looking at it and go, wow, this is the greatest thing I think I've ever seen in my life.
I think I've just discovered sex.
And then there were some stupid angles. Obviously you're familiar with Mark Henry.
Yep.
Well, he went through, you know, he didn't win, I think he got a silver or bronze medal or something at the Olympics. Kurt Angle got gold medals, but he was a big weightlifting guy. Well, in the early days, they were really kind of confused, I think, what to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he became Sexual Chocolate, was one character, and he was kind of a ladies' man. And are you familiar with Mae Young?
Not off the top of my head.
Well, I think she's passed away now, but you know of Fabulous Moolah?
Nope.
They're like female wrestlers from the 60s, maybe even the 50s. So they were like in their 70s. Mae Young was in her 70s at the time. And they had a storyline where Mark Henry and Mae Young were an item. And they were in a hotel room together. They had, apparently, Mark Henry's told some stories on some of the DVDs I haven't. She was quite the, you know, she's trying to, you know, pull the sheet up. And she's just being an old, you know, pervert. She actually, the Dudley Boys, you know, they had that move. Bubba Ray would powerbomb. They powerbombed a 7-year-old woman through a table. But so now back to Mark Henry and Mae Young being an item. A 7-year-old woman is pregnant. She gives birth.
What?
She gives birth.
Wait, whoa, calm down. What?
No, wait. Follow me. It gets better.
I love that apparently the wrestling demographic has decided their fans are retards.
She goes into labor.
Okay.
She gives birth.
Mm-hmm.
To a hand. And that's all. A hand.
What?
A hand.
So what you're trying to tell me is that...
She gave birth to a hand.
So what you're saying is, I think maybe if I can sum it up...
A is hand. That
the Attitude Era...
was fucked up.
While it had some really interesting and innovative ideas and put forward some new things, it was not without its own problems.
Well, even WCW had some of those too, but you really should look up some of the things that happened. I mean, there was a guy named Val Venus. He was like a former porn star become wrestler. He wasn't, but his finishing move was the money shot. He apparently had an affair with some Chinese businessman's wife or whatever, and his goons got a hold of Val Venus. They took him to the back. They had him tied, his arms tied up. They had his pants pulled down. You could see Val Venus's ass from behind. And they made it look like it's the famous, I choppy choppy your pee-pee. They apparently chopped Val Venus's penis off. Venus penis.
On television.
Yes. But the hilarious thing, a few years back...
I love the 90s.
They did a joke, a callback more or less to Mae Young giving birth to a hand. It was like a retro Raw show or something.
Yeah.
And there was this, like, say, a full-size man, person, in a hand costume. Like, hey, Dad. To Mark Henry sort of thing. It was like they just wanted to poke fun at how lame it was.
What's the hamburger helper hand?
They just wanted to poke fun at
what. And of course the hand is black.
No, actually I think it was white.
It wasn't black?
No, because she was white, so
you'd think it would have to be half, right? Yeah. And that hand went on to become Barack Obama.
But, yeah, you should definitely look up, Mark Henry, Mae Young gives birth to a hand.
I think we're going to wrap up soon, but that's just special. That's just a moment that is forever etched in our culture.
They had something called the Right to Censor at one point. It was, and they were sort of a brainwashing group. They came out and they brainwashed. They would take somebody and take them to the back, and then the next week they were brainwashed to be part of this, no sexism this kind of stuff.
Making fun of their own censors.
Val Venus, the former porn star and these other people, they're now preaching that,
And in a weird way, if you look at it though, the censor people won. In the end, because the Raw did, and because the WWE did end up becoming PG, which would be an amazing storyline if they did that as a joke, where like they came out and said like if they made it a self-referential thing where they brought them back and were like, we have been behind the scenes the whole time, we took over and we're responsible for the PG-ification.
One more thing before we wrap up, I'll tell you interesting.
I want to talk about AJ Lee too, okay. So we can talk about whatever you
is interesting. Is the storyline of how initially Triple H was dating China.
Yeah.
The show, but they were together.
I know about this one.
In real life. But a storyline came up that to piss off Vince McMahon and all that, Triple H was going to marry Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah.
There was a wrestler by the name of Test who's from Orangeville, I believe.
I know Edge and Christian are from Orangeville.
Yeah, I think Test was as well, or he's from somewhere around there. But he,
fun fact: Edge's dad worked at the arena where I played hockey as a kid. Yeah. He was the skate sharpening guy.
Yeah, Test is actually he's dead now, but he how he got into to entertainment to begin with was he was they brought him in too by he was a Motley Crue's security guard or something.
Really?
That's how he was sort of brought in as a, he was this rock star security guard. But so he was supposed to marry Stephanie.
And like they were in real life or in the show?
On the show. And they were going to get married in the ring. And then DX
comes in.
D-Generation X. Yeah. They come out and Triple H is like, no, I'm sorry, Stephanie. You can't get married. You're already married to me. Now let's go to the video screen of them in Las Vegas. Her passed out in the front of the car going through a drive-through wedding chapel. And the female minister going, all right, now, Stephanie, repeat after me. I, Stephanie, and you can see Triple H just turned like this and he's going,
I, Stephanie.
Yeah, yes, that is exactly, exactly how it happened. I, Stephanie. Yeah.
That's,
you could never get away with that today.
And that's how they got married.
In real life.
Well, that's...
that's how they got together in real life, though.
That's what led them to getting together in real life. But yeah, they set it up like that. And then, you know, eventually working close to... They eventually ended up... I mean, you got to figure. Triple H wanted... You know, he saw greener pastures. He saw greener pastures. He's like, China... big burly woman, not the most attractive. Or Stephanie, who's quite attractive.
Boss's daughter. Yeah.
You know, look what I could end up with. I could have a company.
He did.
I don't have to, you know, put my life on the line. This could be good. So, yeah. So, I think he chose the right... He made the right decision. But, yeah, that was one of the funniest things in the world was when he's like... Hi, Stephanie. It was the greatest thing I ever saw.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you can never get away with that today.
No.
All right, let's quickly talk about AJ Lee because we do have to get out of here because we are over time at this point. Yeah, we're way over time.
What are we, 2 hours?
No, we're at an hour and a quarter, but I was thinking we'd get around an hour. So,
yeah.
And we go over, no big deal, as long as the conversation's still organic. It's like, it's a kind of thing where, like, if we're sitting here, like, oh, yeah, we're at an hour, so,
what do you think? Brock Lesnar, eh?
Yeah, Brock.
Look at him.
Yeah.
He's beating that guy up. I love Paul Heyman. I look at him. No, I love Brock. Yeah. Don't do it, Brock.
No, Brock. Yeah. No.
Michael Cole. Smash. Oh,
no. Oops. Oopsie-daisy.
He's dead. He's killed him.
He killed him with the F5. The most deadly maneuver ever.
Basically, you're just face planting.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Like, I mean, you could, like, one of the worst things I think could happen is you could probably, you could, if you land wrong, if you land, like, face down, you could break your nose.
Mm.
You could hurt yourself some, but to kill, you'd have to really, really, really land wrong.
You'd have to land on your neck, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
Really. Or something would have to, you know, like in a freak case, if you did it,
if there was something underneath you,
if you did it through a table or something, and the table, you know, the broke wrong, and you know, you ended up impaling yourself through some wood,
or not even that, like the table, you land wrong, and the part of it goes up, so the table's elevated, so you hit your neck. That could snatch your vertebrae pretty easily.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, anytime they're doing something with the table,
yeah,
there's danger. There is definitely danger, especially those announcer tables, because they're not like those ones they pull in the ring that just, you know, fall apart fairly easily.
Yeah.
Anyways, AJ Lee.
AJ Lee. By the way, if we're going to talk about wrestlers who have not that, John Cena is the king of finishing move that is actually not that painful.
Yeah. Oh, the five knuckle shuffle.
Just
punch in the face.
Just like, a little punch in the face, like not even full. Like that's all that build up to like nothing. Like, oh, what a devastating maneuver.
Well, when I started getting back into wrestling, I loved seeing, like, I'd look at a move, you know, Stone Cold Stunner or the Power Bomb or any of those moves. And so, or years ago, a pile driver was somebody's finishing move.
Yeah.
But I look and I'm like, when he came back to WWF, Hulk Hogan, he boots you, big boot to the face, and then he drops his leg across your chest.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But yet this guy can kick out a 6F5, two DDTs. Yeah.
Have a chair smashed over his head.
Yeah. Mick Foley gets smashed in the head from The Rock 30 times or
he's
something.
He's surprisingly intelligent for a guy who took that many blows to the head.
Well, that was the one thing. His kids were in the front row, and The Rock hit him like 30 some odd times or something with a steel chair. one of the pay-per-views.
Yep. That's when shit gets real.
Rock's hitting him, and he's looking at Mick's kids and going, "Hi, kids." Hi, Uncle Dwayne.
Yeah. Coming up, he's like, "You do your homework?"
Yes, Uncle Dwayne. Because that's funny. You see them, you know, I've seen little bits of backstage and stuff, and they're really they're bringing their kids or something, and the kid, you know, it's somebody that they're feuding with, but the kid's like, Oh, my God, it's...
Yeah.
It's Triple H.
Ah!
Hey, are you going to kick the shit out of my
Uncle
dad?
Paul, Uncle Paul!
You're going to kick the shit out of my dad tonight?
Yeah,
I'm going to make him bleed real good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense. You're on the road with these guys 300 days a year. Like,
exactly.
You're pretty much the only people you hang out with.
Yeah. And you got to think, as much as people want to say it's staged and all that kind of stuff, there is serious risk.
Mm-hmm.
If you miss a move, you could fuck somebody up.
Exactly.
Like years ago, there's a wrestler by the name of Darren Drozdoff. He was known as Droz. They wanted to bring him in and call him Puke because he could literally puke on command. He was a football player, and he's in a wheelchair now. He's done. D'Lo Brown screwed up his move and paralyzed him.
Oh,
and that's it. The guy
that's all she wrote. That's, for reals, yo.
That's it. So if you screw it, you just Stone Cold Steve Austin. Owen Hart nearly paralyzed him. As Steve Austin still ended up winning the match, but yeah, that's what screwed up his neck and, you know.
And then, yeah, obviously Owen himself,
Yeah.
We all know what happened
but
there.
But yeah, he did a pile driver the wrong way. And just a little bit wrong. He had Steve Austin's head a little too low when he went down for the pile driver, and his head actually connected with the... And you think, compared to other moves, the pile driver doesn't look that bad, but if you drop somebody on their...
Yeah.
Directly on their head, that's going to...
Yeah.
That could do something.
I was one of the backbreaker. That could be the one if you fuck that up.
So you think you have to... For the most part, you have to like and trust some of these guys.
Yeah.
Because you're seriously, putting your life in their hand. And
vice versa.
And if they don't like you.
Yeah, and vice versa. That's the thing. You're putting their life in their hand.
And if they don't like you, who's to say an accident doesn't just happen? And they're like, are they going to go to jail
not even just that. Not even just like they could, like, imagine, could you imagine how horrible that would be? Like, could you imagine it? Because you're on the road with these guys 300 days a year. So you know everybody in the company very well.
Yeah.
They're all like members of your team. Like, you travel with them all the time. So everybody is maybe not friends with everybody, but everybody's close with everybody.
Yeah.
So even if you imagine you do something to Dean Ambrose is on screen right now.
Yeah.
Imagine he's wrestling John Cena. Imagine John Cena does something and he plays risky and he accidentally hurts Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
You have to go to work the next day with all the other people who are friends with Dean Ambrose and you're friends with him. You know him. It's just horrible to imagine how.
One thing I want to put out there real quick, because I know we're going over, but
this is the fourth time we said we're going to wrap up.
But you know about what happened in Mexico with Rey Mysterio killing the guy and a man ended up.
Surely. It was ugly. It was after the match. It happened he died of complications from the match.
Yeah, but he was laying there for a while. Like, he didn't get up.
Yeah.
Like, he was, but they let the match continue on. It was like, maybe they should have done so. But my daughter was saying she heard somewhere that apparently he was being sued or something like that.
Doesn't surprise me.
But this is the question.
Oh, they must have contracts.
This is the question I want to ask you. Should Rey Mysterio be held responsible for his... My belief is... Unless you can prove that he did it intentionally, do you think that, you know, I mean, it's a chance that's taken.
Yeah.
From what I heard was what happened was he kicked him in the, I forget where he kicked him, but it was his neck and I think in his trachea area or something, the rope more or less snapped his neck or something. The bounce back of the rope snapped is what led to the injuries.
So I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to get your opinion first because I've got my own opinion. I don't know if I'll be a popular one, but I'm interested to hear what you have to say first. So, do you think he should be held responsible?
No,
you don't.
I don't, because it's a risk you take unless he. And you can prove that it was intentional, and to which I don't know. Because, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, I don't know Rey Mysterio on a personal level, but he doesn't look like the kind of guy that would deliberately kill somebody.
Yeah.
You know, if anything, I mean, it would obviously the charge would have to be, you know, unintentional, you know, manslaughter, yeah. You know, something, negligence leading to death or, you know, because obviously it wasn't deliberate. I mean, you know, can they, you know, I think, yeah, you know, it could, you know, he could probably get sued, but the thing is, you're putting yourself in that position that any time you're in there, and there's got to be, I mean, obviously he's wrestling in Mexico now, so the difference between what kind of contract he has there with what kind of contract he had with WWE. Now, I think if an accident like that happened in WWE, probably they wouldn't get sued because there's probably some.
There's so many contracts.
Because the thing is, I don't even know. I can't. I have to. I really should. This is something I should look up, or one of us should look up. When Owen Hart died.
Mm.
I don't remember.
I don't think. Yeah, I think
if they really got completely sued or not,
they might have. But I feel like, yeah, no.
Because the thing is, nobody for sure. No,
nobody went to jail.
The speculation was that his costume got caught up in the release, and he was probably trying to free it, and it, you know, prematurely opened the release, and he fell. You know, I know. From what I've read, he really didn't want
to. He did not want to do it at all.
He didn't want to be part of that. Yeah. He didn't want to be part of that storyline.
Which is the most tragic part of the whole story is that he had misgivings. Everyone had misgivings about it.
Yeah.
He didn't want to. I mean, you told me the story about, you know, about Mick Foley and not wanting to do, an Undertaker not wanting to do that Hell in the Cell thing. And then that whole moment happening. But that was a complete. You know,
because I mean, and the thing is, because what if Mick Foley had died.
Undertaker, he could have so easily died.
Undertaker would have had.
He's so lucky.
He would have had that to live with for the rest of his life.
And it's not even the kind of thing where he could have died. He should have died. And it's a miracle he didn't.
And the thing is, if you watch that match, Undertaker has to try to stay in that character.
Yeah.
You know, you looking down like, did I kill him?
Yeah.
This guy's dead. He's dead. I can just kill the guy.
I killed a friend of mine.
I didn't want to do this.
Yeah.
But look at me. I'm the Lord of Darkness.
I'm the dead man.
I'm the Lord of Darkness. Fuck, I just killed a guy.
Yeah. So here's my answer.
Okay.
I think he should.
Yeah.
I think he should be held responsible. I think that, and this might be unpopular, but here's my thinking behind this. Criminally, no. I don't think he should go to jail for this.
Yeah.
But I think he should be. I think he should be civilly liable. I think he should be held responsible. I think they should sue him, and I think they should win. The reason is to send a message, because he's a high profile guy.
Yeah,
he's. I'm sure you know. He may have. I don't know if he's got money in the bank. No pun intended. Because not all these guys save their money. He was a big high profile guy, so he certainly made money. Yeah. Whether he still has it is debatable.
Yeah.
Or not debatable. I mean, somebody knows the answer, but. Yeah. We could debate about it, but we don't know. Somebody does. He could have money. He could not. He's wrestling in Mexico, so I'm guessing probably leaning towards not.
At least not that much, yeah.
But no, I think he should absolutely be held responsible. And the reason is that when you're entering, I feel like these guys, we're looking at Dean Ambrose again right now on screen. This is a great example. If you're walking in, if John Cena walks into the ring, Dean Ambrose walks into the ring, they're about to wrestle, and they should know that if something happens and one of these guys doesn't walk out of the ring, they're responsible. It's their ass, because I feel like that would make them much more likely to not do stupid shit. They'll get them killed.
But at the same time, it wasn't even that crazy of a maneuver that he did.
Yeah.
The thing is, too, you know, we've talked. Anything can happen in like a split second, right?
Yeah.
What if
we're getting the worst hand signals from my dad. what if? Yes, we would like beers if you could. Thank you. You're our hero. My dad is bringing us beers. He's the hero of the podcast. He is literally the MVP of the podcast.
What if, you know, Rey Mysterio is about to... He's going in for that move. He's about to kick the guy in the head. And the guy, for who knows what reason, turns the... At the exact second that he's... And your foot is in the air. And you can, there's point, you know, like going through...
Right, and I understand that.
You have the point
and I understand that.
And
but
now you're like... You kick him in the head, but, yeah, and you know, oh,
that's
shit,
why
I kicked him.
But that's why
at the wrong time.
Notice, I don't want him to be criminally responsible.
Yeah.
I don't want him to go to jail, like, because there's a difference between civil and criminal. Yeah. Like, you can, because when you get, I don't want to get too legal specific, like technically specific here.
Yeah, yeah.
In a civil case, you don't have to prove, like, it's criminal proves intent. You have to prove, to get a criminal conviction, you have to prove that they intended to do this and their actions directly resulted in this thing happening. Like, the most famous example would be the OJ case. So, like, OJ is criminally he's not guilty for killing his girlfriend and her and the guy she was dating. Because criminally, you can't do it. Civilly, he is. He
was his wife.
It was his wife. Yeah. Sorry.
So, yeah.
Well, it was his girlfriend. It was his ex-wife, right?
Ex-wife, yes.
Sorry, his wife, not his girlfriend. Anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
That's the point you're going to quibble me on?
Yes, of course.
Anyway, so civilly, he is responsible for it because his actions caused the death of them.
Yes.
But they didn't show that he intentionally murdered them. That's the difference between them. So I think that absolutely Rey Mysterio should be held civilly responsible for the killing that guy. Because his actions directly caused that man's death.
Yeah, but the man's actions himself led to his own death.
Doesn't matter. But that's what the thing. I don't think, that's what I said. But that's why I think if you go into that with the knowledge that if John Cena, for example, if John Cena goes down and he's killed, God forbid, or he's hurt, God forbid.
The crowd will be happy.
I'm responsible. Like, I'm responsible for this. Like, so that when you enter the ring with the knowledge that I am responsible for this man's health.
Yeah.
I am responsible for ensuring that this man who trusts me with his life and I trust him with my life, I know that I am responsible for making sure that he walks out of here perfectly fine within reason. You know what I mean? Like, not obviously perfectly fine, but like accidents happen. But that I am responsible for making sure you walk out of this alive. I feel like a lot of these, and I don't want to sound crass, but I think a lot of these guys, not necessarily in the WWE, but I'm on the independent circuit. They're hungry. They want to stand out. They want to do things that get them noticed. They want to, you know, for whatever reason, they're probably less likely to, you know, care about the health of the other guy.
Yeah.
So they should be aware of the fact that, look, you do something, even if it's not your fault, you're responsible for what happens. So, especially if the guy's got like a family, if the guy's got kids, like imagine the guy's got kids and like they all of a sudden they don't have a dad.
Yeah.
All of a sudden maybe their dad was the only person who was in charge, like who was like bringing money home. All of a sudden they don't have a source of income. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a very fine line, you know, what is right and what is, you know, whether he should or whether he shouldn't. I think there's a, you know, it's really kind of a tough call.
Yeah.
You know that, you know, obviously he didn't mean to, but, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody, the thing is, everybody's responsible for everything. Just like, you know, let's hold the referee responsible. Maybe it's his
fault. Yeah.
His fault.
And that's
like
why,
I said,
that's why,
I
just, not to cut you off. That's why I think civil. That's why, because I think it is too close of a call. How do you say one guy's responsible for another guy's death? That's a horrible thing to say to somebody, especially especially something that happens in a good job like this, like to say to somebody else that you were responsible for this man's death, horrible thing to say. This man died, but this is the way it should be. This guy died. You are liable for that.
I'm going to break it down a little bit even more, in my opinion. Have you actually watched?
Have you
seen any of it? I watched a little bit of it. I would like to see it again, maybe a little bit better or more of it, because they only show a bit and then they, you know, they cut to another part of it. But what happens is he did the whatever move, and then he did the 619 move, and he went to do the 619 move, and he went right over top of the guy and realized something was wrong, because, you know, he should have kicked the guy right in the face with the 619.
Yeah.
But the guy was slumped over. So he went over and checked on him, and then they sort of stood there and they weren't doing anything, and then didn't really even seem like any medical people came over. They might have looked at him a little bit. He clearly was out of it. And so then all of a sudden the match is going on again.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, you know, okay, maybe, you know, maybe there, like you said, maybe there is some, you know, you go in the ring, you have to be held for something, what happens. But maybe the promotion itself,
I think everybody's responsible,
needs to be, or even the referee, the medical people for sure, you know, I mean, somebody should have said, hey, let's stop this match.
Yeah.
Let's not, you know, he's not moving a whole lot. Let's get him out of here. You know, I know it's the main event, but, you know, the guy ended up dying afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, how good do you feel now that, you know, we made sure the you know, there's a point in time where, you know what? I'm sorry, but fuck the audience, you know?
Yeah, no, it's there's a point in time where you have to realize, and this happened, and again, I don't want to go off too off topic, because we already are running very long, but it's fine, I don't care. People, I'm going to put this up, and then people like it, they like it. If they don't like it, they don't like it. We're just having a conversation, so if you don't like it, fuck y'all.
Exactly.
You
know, if you don't want to listen to the whole thing, don't listen to the whole thing, or skip to the end.
Why not?
There's a twist at the end if you keep listening.
I've got brownies. So this happened recently.
I promise brownies.
This happened recently in the NHL, where I don't know if you heard about this, where one player brutally cross-checked a guy on the other team in the back of the head. Brutally, like there's no question about it. Like he takes his stick and he bashes the dude right in the back of the head.
I haven't heard of that this one.
It was recently. Really recent. The fine just came down. I think it was the day before yesterday. Yeah. The fine just came. He got suspended and just heavily fined. But, and that's the thing where like, and that's what, the way I walked away from that, just all I could think was, and I mean, this has happened in hockey in the past where there's, you know, the Todd Bertuzzi thing is probably the most famous example, where a guy was like really injured to the point that he can't play anymore. He barely walk for a while.
Yeah.
I think he's walking now. But it's a game.
Yeah.
It's a fucking game. You're on a ice chasing around a little rubber puck. Like, it's not worth killing someone over.
And
like,
you guys are getting paid good money too.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'm not even just that. This is fucking silly. Yeah. It's a silly thing. I love silly things. Yeah. Most of my favorite things are silly things. Like wrestling is silly. It is a silly thing. It's dudes in the ring putting on a show, pretending to fight each other for our amusement. It's silly. It's entertaining as hell, and I love it. Yeah. But it's silly. It's the kind of thing that no human life, I don't care how insignificant, how despicable the person is worth that. I think it's really important that we understand that. It's like, it's silly. And I think acknowledging the silliness is a very important thing to do. Just be like, look, this is fucking silly.
Well, that's what I don't like about sports to a degree, is that, you know, football, hockey, those are more your more violent sports, you know, basketball.
Basketball is pretty violent.
To a degree.
It can be.
But I mean, you could pretty
and
much
do.
You could pretty much kill somebody.
And it's happened in both of the sports, not be held
responsible, really, because, oh, well, you know, it's part of the game, and I just, you know, I hit him a little harder than I should, you know, and to a certain degree, people accept that.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I don't play football, so I don't know exactly, you know, people get concussions. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I wouldn't want to play football.
A lot of people are telling their kids not to play football.
You get really hurt.
Yeah. Really easily, too. Anyway, I think we're going afield. But, I think, yeah, it's, you know, it's a very interesting discussion. Like, you know, it's one of those things like...
Yeah, I opened the can there.
Because wrestling is fake, you know what I mean? It opens up even more of this can of worms of, like, how much is really responsible. But,
yeah,
you know, it's. I think they should... That's why I said, I think they should be responsible on a civil level. They should be responsible. Because, I mean, if it was me...
Yeah.
Imagine it's me. I'm fighting Seth Rollins, who's on screen right now.
Yeah.
And I go to do some move that's, you know, a little bit risky.
Yeah.
And Seth Rollins and I don't turn where I'm supposed to. Whatever. Yeah. Or something happens. Even if Seth Rollins does it. Or let me pick somebody else. I think Seth Rollins is probably too young. Let me pick somebody older. Somebody who probably has, like, a family. Like, who has, like, kids and stuff? Like
Roman Reigns has kids.
Roman Reigns. Okay, I'm fighting Roman Reigns. Great. Great example, because everyone hates Roman Reigns.
kill him.
So Roman Reigns has children, right? He's got a family. He's got kids.
Yes.
He's the breadwinner for this family.
Yes.
I am in the fight. I'm in the ring with Roman Reigns. I go to do a move that is risky. We both know it's risky.
Yeah.
One of us executes poorly. Him, me, doesn't fucking matter. Yeah. Roman snaps his neck.
Yeah.
Killed. He's dead.
Yeah.
I don't even need to be told that I am responsible for his family. I would just be. Yeah. I would just be like, let me take care of you. I've taken away this person who was so important in your life. Let me take care of you.
Yeah. Well, a prime example would have been, as we were talking about, you know, I keep coming back to it, but Mick Foley.
Yeah.
He had, you know, he had kids at the time. He has, you know, he's... I think he's got like 3 kids.
Yeah.
You know, and a wife. You know, that would have been, you know, Undertaker would have been, whoa, shit, I destroyed a family. You know, as much as, you know, he's the dead man, he's, you know, he's
a... No, he's a guy.
He's a human being. You know, those are just characters. He's really not, you know...
They're characters to us, but to them, they're real people because they know them.
It's not indestructible. You know, the Undertaker's a character, but underneath that, there's... A guy.
Yeah.
A dude. You know, like you said about Mick Foley, a very... Underneath that crazy throw-me-through table, barbed wire tables that are set on fire is a smart guy.
A human being. A smart, articulate, well, you know, like, interesting human being. A
guy who's taken...
Who loves Santa Claus. And now, like, he has favorite movies.
And
now
does stand-up comedy.
You know what I mean? That's the thing. Is like he has favorite movies. Like, he had a childhood. Yeah. He has people, like, he has, like, events. He loves Christmas. Like, he's a real human being.
Exactly. Got, like I said, he now is doing...
He's not a piece of meat that you can just churn into, like...
I'm a hugger.
Yeah. That's not her shirt. That's that's someone else's, an XTV person, I think.
And now he's in, you know, and now he's into doing stand-up comedy, and he's written, like, 3, 4, or 4 or 5 books. The guy, you know... He's a human. You know, he's more than just this crazy guy. There's something to him.
Yeah.
Anyways, we've gotten way off the topic.
We've gotten so serious.
It's brought me
too.
Back. AJ, you were talking, you wanted to talk about AJ Lee.
Yeah, because I didn't know about this. You just told me about this before we started recording when we were doing soundcheck.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of the story, but yeah, AJ Lee apparently has retired from the WWE. And
that's weird, too, because... It really felt like she was getting a push. Like she was getting...
Oh, yeah. And she was helping bring Paige up, you know, to that next level. And I mean, look.
Like she won...
Monday Night Raw's on and we're looking at her right now.
She won the main event or the Diva event at WrestleMania. Yeah. Like that's the biggest stage you can have. And they put her over at that event.
Yeah.
So it's such a weird timing. I mean, you know, it doesn't surprise me. Like... You know, because the Diva, I don't know, considering who she's, this is a pet peeve of mine. We talked about it before the show. Yeah. I'm not going to say what it was. I was listening to a podcast, a wrestling podcast recently.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the Bella Twins, who, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of. They were on SmackDown recently and they were doing commentary and they were like the opposite of Bad News Barrett. Like how great Bad News Barrett is at doing it. This is how bad they were at it.
Yeah.
But it really kind of grossed me and pissed me off.
I love Paige.
It really kind of pissed me off, though, because they were talking about the Bellas, and they were like, they were saying, oh yeah, they're good, and they talked about them as wrestlers and like blah 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 for like maybe 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, well, if you look at who they're married to, yeah, you can see. And then it just became this like, oh, let's talk about, so like I think it's Brie who's married or engaged to John Cena, right? Is it, which one?
I think Brie is married to Daniel Bryan, so, I think. Yeah,
whatever. Which one ever, whichever is which. So
I think it's the one that has, she's got Brie mode is her shirt or yeah, whatever. I think that's the one.
So anyway, so like, oh, so you can see
one's married to John Cena, or one's married to Daniel Bryan, one's involved with John Cena.
Engaged to John Cena, I think.
Engaged, yeah, something like
that. But yeah, they're just like, so they talk about them as like actual like independent, you know, like autonomous people for maybe 2 minutes. And then it's just, well, if you look at them, you can clearly, oh, like whatever Brie has been or Nikki has been pumping iron with John Cena, like,
oh my god!
You can see a lot
the old ass shake in the face.
Yeah,
the
Naomi ass.
That was nice.
Yeah, just like you can see like John Cena, like you can see the effect that he's had on her, blah blah blah. And they're like, yeah, if you look at Nikki, like, or if you look at Brie, like, you can clearly see like this is on like some like Japanese moves that like that Daniel Bryan has clearly been having an.
Stop right on it.
You're enjoying this way, like you're just stopping.
That was pretty good. These two are pretty good. I mean, okay, that ass shake was just funny.
This is Natalia
doing that stomp on the back was,
yeah,
you know.
But it just kind of, yeah, it kind of pissed me off though. It's just like, can we just like have a conversation? I'm not a feminist, like, you know, hardcore feminist, but like, can we just have a conversation about them as people without having to constantly refer back to the men they're fucking?
The thing is, it seems like nowadays that the divas are there so that the guys have women now on the road.
Yeah.
You know, because if you look, prime example right now, I don't know if Paige is with anybody, but
they're all hooking up.
I don't know who Paige is with or if she's with anybody at the moment, at least in the W. But AJ is with CM Punk, obviously. Naomi is married to one of the Usos. Brie and Nikki are, you know, John Cena and
Daniel
Bryan. And then Natalya has Tyson Kidd. I mean, all of them are, you know, it's like there's a huge thing, and then they have the that Total Divas show that shows it all, you know, come together, and it's, you know, can't we get back to the days where there wasn't so many divas to go around?
I don't think, I don't know if you're trying, are you implying that it's contrived, or like it's, I don't think it is.
No, I think
it makes perfect sense.
I just think that, you know, okay, yeah, you're on the road.
You're on the road 300 days a year. You probably don't meet the opportunity to hang out with a lot of other people. Like, yeah, it's just natural that this is going to be the women you're going to date.
Yeah.
These are the men you're going to date because you're always with them.
I think what problem I'm having is that, okay, a behind the scenes thing, that's not such a bad thing, but now that they have Total Divas, you know, it's like we have to know who they're involved with. You know, it's not, okay, we know that they're involved with somebody, but now, you know, we want you to know all their business because of Total Divas. You know, like years ago, you knew that actually behind the scenes, Miss Elizabeth and Randy Orton were together.
Wait, Randy Orton? You mean Randy
Savage? Randy Savage.
I would say Randy Orton was like 10.
Randy Savage. Randy Savage, yes. Randy Savage. I do that sometimes. But Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth.
Just going through a drive-through marriage cast. It's like, do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded husband and wife? And it's like, yes! And that's his actual voice.
Yeah. But yeah, people knew that was real. And then, I mean, that's what led to Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage being mad at each other in real life, was that apparently he thought Elizabeth and Hulk Hogan were
fooling around.
But I've heard stories, you know, on the DVD that recently came out, Lanny Poffo tries to disagree with some of it, but there's been notorious stories that Randy was into quite a bit of drugs and stuff, and used to apparently pimp out Miss Elizabeth in the backstage area.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, he was the guy that kept her locked in the, you know, before she was coming out to the ring with him, she was locked in the back room.
Yeah.
You know, nobody was allowed in and she wasn't allowed out. But
Total Divas would have had a field day with that story.
But this is the thing. And I've heard, like I was telling you, I watched that show after called Aftermath that's on after SmackDown. And they were talking about that, you know, with AJ leaving, it's weird because it's they were building this, the Divas up finally. And even Mick Foley, I have on Facebook, I have his page liked or whatever, and it was saying something about that, you know, she leaves at the height of when it seems like they're really, you know, really building the division to...
When they really need her.
Yeah, they need her. She's good in the ring. She's entertaining, you know, and I love her and Paige together. I mean, they're amazing, you know, in the ring, you know, when they're against each other or when they're hanging out together. It's a great combination, but I don't, you know, like, I'm guessing, you know, with the fact that now, you know, apparently CM Punk has gone to UFC and that maybe, you know, she, you know, he's not in the WWE.
Very, yeah, they had a very, very, very nasty falling out. Him in the WWE.
Yeah.
Well, very public, yeah, very nasty.
Yeah, he just sort of walked off and, I mean.
According to him.
And the thing is, I'm surprised they gave her the title again. I'm surprised they've allowed her to do what she's been doing lately because, you know, in the past it would have seemed like, well, he fucked us, so fuck you. You know, we're going to bury you now. But, you know, the thing is, he's not with the WWE. She's married to him. Of course, she won't, you know, he's probably going to travel some with UFC maybe, or, and she's constantly traveling. Of course she wants to be around him. You know, they've only been married about a year, you know. If even a year yet, they want to be together. So, you know, it's time. But I find it funny when they use the word retire. And I today I go and I look at her Wikipedia page.
Like 25?
At 28.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, he's 36. She's 28. I'm like, okay, retired.
Yeah.
28.
Most people are starting their careers that.
28, retired. Kind of seems nice.
Yeah.
Be a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
But obviously, she's probably going to end up doing something else.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
You know, whether, you know, she eventually goes to TNA or she wrestles in Mexico and kills somebody. Oh my god!
I like that we've turned that into like a career path.
Don't show the other angle again.
Those at the dad abdomen, huh? Just like,
oh my god! It's like you see her ribs. I'm like, that is.
You don't even see your ribs. You can see them like trying to escape.
Yes. That's what I was looking at when they had it from the other angle. I'm like, that's just...
That's not natural.
Like, hey, those... Hey, look, you can see that underneath of her breast. No, you can't.
No,
that's
ribs. That's a rib cage.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's not nearly as sexy.
Breasts aren't ruffled.
Yeah, that's not nearly as sexy.
Yeah.
But she's a skinny chick.
She's tiny, too, I think.
Yeah, she's not a very large person.
You see pictures of them together. She looks like a midget.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got to wrap up because
We've talked about wrapping up
for... This is a two-hour show.
What is it? Is
hour 50.
Hour 50. The last time when we were originally wrapping up, you said it was like an hour 15.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've gone on for almost another 45 minutes.
But it was natural. Like, it wasn't like we sat there and were like... That's why I always say, like, with the podcast, the podcast goes on as long as it needs to.
Yeah, we're not... Yeah, we weren't like, well, let's push it. We're at an hour 15. We might as well go for two hours. Let's
we've been trying to wrap up for, like, almost an hour now. But, like, we just keep talking because we find interesting things to talk about.
45 minutes ago, you were like... Okay, we'll wrap up. We're going to talk about AJ, and that's going to be it.
And
then I got all deep with the, you know, let's, you know, Rey Mysterio kills a man. What can we do
what
now?
What can we talk about there? It got very serious.
Yeah, it got, yeah. And it got, you know, I was just intending that topic to be like a, you know,
a little aside.
Like maybe like a little 5-minute, you know, wrap up, you know, yeah, okay, you know, get your opinion. But then you had like this big 20-minute. Well, I think this
I filibustered.
Yeah,
this is a simple Southern lawyer. Yeah.
You got out the papers. And, okay, this is in the case of.
To be fair, you're the only one who brought out friggin' evidence and testimony.
No, but it's like you brought out a sheet.
I brought up OJ.
Yes, you did. In the case of,
did OJ ever appear on wrestling? He must have.
I don't think so.
We can look back.
Not that I know of. I mean, if anything, It would have been maybe when they were like plugging one of the Naked Gun movies.
Yeah.
But I think the murder happened before they really got into celebrities being like, I mean, they did celebrities and stuff at the early WrestleManias and that. But when they start bringing in Dennis Rodman and your former world champion David Arquette, and that's a thing. Look it up.
It's in the book.
Look it up, people. That's a story. David Arquette.
David Arquette has won more world championships than how many wrestlers?
Than many.
Than Bad News Barrett.
Than Bad News Barrett.
We should look up the list of wrestlers who never won
the world title,
world heavyweight, and then just feel like all these guys combined.
All these guys. David Arquette David Arquette gets a world title.
He does.
But anyway, they wanted to, you know, it was because that movie came out.
It worked because we're talking about it.
What was it called? Ready to Rumble. That movie, Ready to Rumble, that WCW put out, you know, and David Arquette was in it. So they're like, you know, what's going to make people run out to see the movie that we produced? Let's put the title on one of the actors from the movie.
At least they didn't cut Triple H to come out wearing a David Arquette suit, surrounded by David Arquettes, after Arnold Schwarzenegger introduces a clip package about David Arquette.
I would have liked that better than the Terminator.
Yeah, I think we all would have.
Would you not have liked to seen Triple H looking like David Arquette?
I just want... No, I'm not even saying looking like him. I'm saying wearing a mask that is David Arquette's face.
Or just wearing his actual face. What was it? Oh, damn, I had it, but it's gone.
We do have to wrap up, so it's better not be a rabbit hole, Jeff.
No, there was something I was going to say about the whole... I think I was going to say about the Triple H thing again, but I've lost it now.
It's gone.
It was good too. Oh my excellent. God. You would have loved it. What I had to say.
It's all about, that's the twist, ladies and gentlemen. The twist at the end is that we don't actually know what Jeff was going to say.
It was, yes. Tune in next time and I may remember what I was going to say.
The twist is that it's wildly disappointing.
I think it had something to do with what the Aftermath people had to say about the whole Triple H, the debauchery. I mean, come on.
That's illegal.
What?
Marrying a woman while she's passed out. Across state lines. Now, that's a felony.
I love how now you're like, wait a minute.
I didn't realize that.
This guy, that marriage is null and void.
Not even null and void. That's sexual assault. At the very least, it's fraud.
Forget the fact that they are now married and have three children together.
Well, yeah, of course.
For real.
Honestly, I try to forget that every day. I try to forget that whenever I can.
Hey, they should not. That should not have happened.
Yeah. I had a joke. I always had a joke I wanted to do in my
head. Oh, that was it.
Don't tell them.
That was it. No.
We just built up this whole thing about how you were never going
to
find out.
They said that the look on Sting's face was like, oh, I'm not at Starrcade. This isn't Starrcade, is it? No, my thoughts on the look on Sting's face was...
Oh, I think Ziggler's hurt, by the way, because they didn't do that. It was Brian and Sheamus. Yeah.
The look on Sting's face to me was, I waited 14 years, and this is what you're going to do?
I get drummers and a fucking Terminator?
This is what you give me?
Yeah.
You give me a guy dressed up, and I don't even get to win this match. Seriously, just what I really can I see? Let me see that contract again. Okay, I guess you know the there's enough zeros there.
Seems pretty ironclad.
Yeah. I guess there's enough zeros for me to do this. All right, carry on, Terminator.
Go about your business. Speaking of going about our business.
I'll be back.
All right, we seriously have to get out of here.
And we will be back.
We will be back. We will be back. Because we've got way too much to talk about.
Yeah.
I was going to actually suggest, it was funny, because I was going to suggest it was like, hey, while you're here, do you want to do two episodes, then put up one this week and one next week?
I think we did.
And we just recorded one twice as long episode.
I think we did two episodes.
So we just ended up recording a double episode that's just long as
hell. Just look for a pause in there and then just say, okay, and here's the, and here, and then introduce it as a second.
I'll keep it. I think I'm going to keep them together. Like, I'm going to put them up as one, but yeah, we definitely, we went on for a long time, which is fine. Again, I don't care.
Well, you know, If people can sit through a 2-hour SmackDown, people can sit through 2 hours of us talking about
it's
SmackDown.
It's just us. I mean, it's not like you have to put much thought into what we're saying. You just put on, while you're folding laundry, you just put our voices in your head.
Yeah,
and just
maybe you'll hear something funny.
Yeah, maybe get a laugh or two. So, do we have anything we want to plug coming up? I mean, you can always follow me on Twitter at BrainGasmBen. Gasm of Thrones is coming back because Game of Thrones is coming back. So Kurt and I are getting ready. I'm going to see him tomorrow. We're going to iron out some our recording details, get everything all set up, ready to rock. That's what we're going to change, what we're going to keep. So that I'm very, very excited about that. So that should be really fun. No news yet on BrainGasm Prime. It's just one of those things. I don't really talk about it. I haven't talked about it in a while. I mean, obviously the show hasn't gone up in fucking 6 months, 7 months now, I think. You know, it's just what it is. Chesk and I we're not fighting or anything. There's no like problems. It's just, you know, business.
Well, we're going to start it here.
We're going to start a feud between me and my other
co-host. Right now it's going to start.
We're going to start a feud.
There's a reason there hasn't been.
We're going to start
7 months.
We're going to start a feud between me and the nicest girl in the entire world.
You're the heel. You are the heel.
I think even when I'm being nice to her, she's so nice by default. Even if I'm being nice, I'm the heel. No, there's nothing bad blood in it, if anyone's worried about that. So we'll see. I mean, we've wanted to do it. It's just a matter of just getting together because she works a lot. So, you know, and I work, you know, I don't work a lot, but I can work enough that our schedules are.
Your schedules collide.
They kind of work weirdly together. And, you know, it's just one of those things that she works so much that, like, I always feel bad about when she works so hard. And it's just like, hey, do you want to come in and do like some of your spare time on this thing? So. But we'll do it. You know, it's just a matter of
when. Forget sleep. Do you want to do a podcast?
But don't worry. The wrestling recap and Gasm of Thrones is for sure coming back. So we're gonna have no problem on that front. Let's see. What else do we have to plug? Do you have anything else to plug? Any shows coming up? You got a show coming up. You want to talk about it?
Well, I'll be in London. I'm not sure where, but I'm in London this Wednesday competing.
Give them the date in case. It'll go out before. So
it is the 8th. And then the following Wednesday, the 15th, I believe that is. Because, yes, the 14th is a Tuesday. I know that because I'm looking forward to the new Ultimate Warrior DVD. Always Believe or something. I'm looking forward to that coming out. So on the 15th, I will be in St. Catharines at the Celtic Pub. And then after that,
I will be there as well, even if I'm not performing. I'm always hanging out.
But after that, the Celtic Pub will be starting. The Niagara's Top Comic starts up again the last Wednesday of April.
Yeah.
And I will be judging again this year.
I will probably be in the competition again this year.
I will be one of the judges, so.
Hopefully for my heel turn in this year's competition. When I'm going to cut a few promos where I talk smack about a few of my competitors, which actually, to be fair, I did that last year, but just I didn't cut a promo and I just did it. That was fun when we did that. We did Jeff and I actually Jeff Shrub and I have cut a promo before together.
More or less,
did on stage. When the DVD came out, we cut a promo for the DVD where we were just ripping everybody apart, just
that
like roasting everybody else.
So much fun.
We got to the joke we had was when we got to each other. Was just
we were the
nothing but like
world.
Glory and happy and how great we were. It was fun.
I didn't realize until today I got a notification on Facebook showing me a picture. It was actually a picture of Jen Meyer saying, this is from exactly 2 years ago
today.
Yeah, it
was the CD.
The CD was released exactly 2 years ago today.
Yeah.
The Niagara Comedy.
Still available for purchase digitally. You can find it on the BrainGasm website, actually. BrainGasm, if you go on BrainGasmPodcast.com, there's a link to buy the Niagara Comedy CD Spectacular. And I always recommend getting the digital copy because the quality is a little bit nicer than the CD because I had to tweak down the quality for the CD just to fit it all on there.
Yeah.
But it's all available. All the money goes to charity too.
Check it out.
Check it out.
A lot of funny ass people on there.
Funny ass motherfuckers. All right. I think that's going to do it for us. I hope it's going to do it for us.
I hope so.
Thank you very much if you've listened this far, good job. You were a tough motherfucker. We applaud you. Even we tuned out about four times, Darren. thank you very much for listening. We will see you to lay the smackdown next week.
Woohoo!